Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik and Jessica Tai.
Back again, it's the 2 o'clock hour of Wisconsin's Midday News on WTMJ. We've got you for one more hour. Tomorrow at this time, we'll be sending you off to Brewers baseball. The Cactus League play continues today for the Brewers, just not on the radio. That returns tomorrow. So we got you till 3 o'clock here on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Here's your top 2 at 2 on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Number one. The CDC is in Milwaukee this afternoon following a major federal investment to expand lead screening in Milwaukee public schools. The CDC gave the Milwaukee Health Department a nearly $400,000 grant. City leaders say the goal here is simple: make screening easier for families and shift from crisis response to long-term prevention. Just minutes ago, a lead screening clinic began at Keefe Avenue School for kids in the community. That one goes until 5. Earlier today, they tested students at the school. The school was selected based on its location and convenience for families, not because of any lead risk to kids at the school. Members of the CDC's Lead Poisoning Prevention and Surveillance Team are observing the testing today. They're also providing any assistance that's necessary. Dr. Paul Allwood is with the CDC.
If we find the lead early, there's a lot that we can do in terms of putting the child in touch with the appropriate services that's going to reduce the harm from the lead. And also, if you're doing any kind of renovation in a home, or if you just live in a home that's an older home built before 1978, and if you have not done it already, we encourage you to, either have your child come to one of the free testing clinics or talk to your child's provider about having the child tested for lead.
Yeah, today's clinic is not the last one. They have other ones at other schools coming up. This is the same federal lead team, by the way, that was briefly eliminated during nationwide staffing cuts last year.
Well, number two, the Wauwatosa Common Council scheduled to vote on the intergovernmental agreement to officially merge its fire department with West Allis. There's a Common Council meeting tonight. It's on the agenda. The proposal follows a study suggesting the merger could save the two cities about $7 million over 5 years while maintaining current service levels. Costs would be split 50-50. Each city would retain ownership of its 3 existing fire stations, but lease them to the joint department. There is a couple of sticking points here. So those who are skeptical that this could work out the way it's designed, they're pointing to the potential impact on taxpayers, which is kind of an unknown, and the $1 million each city must provide up front. There's no guarantee that it will be returned over time. So these are potential sticking points. West Allis appears to be all in on this. The Common Council in Tosa is going to meet tonight. There appears to be enough momentum to move this forward. Kind of curious what they call it, right? You got a kind of a combined effort here with Tosa and West Allis. They'll figure that out. Something Metro Milwaukee Fire Department or something. But nonetheless, that'll happen tonight at the Common Council meeting in Wauwatosa. It is 2:11 on WTMJ, how you can bowl for a cause. We'll explain after this. Well, you may have heard me mention it, and if you're watching our live stream here, we've got all the information up. If you text the word WATCH to 855-616-1620, you'll see all the information you need. There's a cool little QR code there. You can sign up and register. Get your team of 4 together and throw strikes for a cause. WTMJ is going bowling for babies, and it's presented by Gruber Law Offices. This is going to be a lot of fun. It's Saturday, March 7th at Village Bowl in Menominee Falls, raising money for the Milwaukee Diaper Mission. And I know it's a cause deep into the heart of Kristen Bry, who joins us. She's heading up the charge here, an expert bowler.
Let's go with that.
Really matter. No bumpers.
Strike after strike.
No bumpers required.
I totally know how to spin it with and get a strike.
Well, this is going to be a lot of fun. So it is coming up March the 7th, and we're inviting our WTMJ fans and listeners to be a part of this. So bowl with some of your favorite WTMJ personalities, including you, Kristen.
We got Vince Vitrano. We got John McCure from ESPN. We have Jen Latta. We have Alex Stroff and Ben Brust. So really fun team, I think. You might stop by?
I will be there. My daughter has her end of season basketball tournament. I am her coach. But it should be wrapped up before about halfway through the competition.
Perfect. Maybe we'll
bowling,
see Jessica there.
So I'll be out there.
So a lot of people from Good Karma Brands in general will be there, either be bowling or just hanging out. But I think on top of the fact that we're raising money for Milwaukee Diaper Mission, which, like you said, I have two years going on. I think 2 years, because Frankie's, my daughter's 2.5, have been friends with and cared a lot about the Milwaukee Diaper Mission, friends with their founder, Megan Johnson. I think anyone who has had diapers and had to deal with diapers, I know your girls are pretty, a lot older now.
Yeah, we're but beyond that now.
You go through a lot of diapers. We're still in diapers right now in our household. We're probably within the next 6 months, hopefully, out of them. But to me, it always just, as far as the dignity of keeping your kids healthy and dry and keeping them in dirty diapers just because you can't afford another diaper, and just how gut-wrenching that must be as far as dealing with diaper rash that comes from that. And so since having a child and meeting Megan, it has been an issue that I care a lot about, and they do so much work in the community. So they work through distribution partners, so food banks and needs banks, to get them diapers for families that need them. They don't do direct distribution, but you've probably seen, I know Mariah Antetokounmpo is a big, big proponent of this organization as well. And so it's a great organization that does a lot of really good work in our community, in and around Milwaukee. But also, if you don't really care about that part, we have some really good prizes for the tournament. So I have donated my personal 4 Packers tickets to an agreed upon game. And then on top of that, this is for the first prize. And on top of that, you also will get 4 tickets to the Tundra Trio.
Great.
So that is obviously Good Karma Brands. Very fun, very exclusive party before and after the game. So that is, I think one ticket is about the same price as what the registration is to sign up to bowl. And obviously, you'd probably want to bring the 4 people you're bowling with if you happen to win. But so that's the grand prize for the first place team. And then the second place team is going to win 4 tickets to the WTMJ day for the Brewers game and also tickets to that game that day. And so on top of that, we also have a silent auction where there's going to be tons of really good prizes that a lot of our partners have donated. So it's going to be really great. And bowling's fun. Bowling's one of those things that even, if you like more so than golf, right? Like if you're bad at bowling, you can kind of walk it off. If you're bad at golf, it's a long day.
That is a good point. All right, there's beer and pizza available too, right? So you just hang out and maybe bumpers will be put up if you need it. But yes, a lot of ways to make it fun.
That's the joke right now. McCure needs bumpers.
It's going to be a blast of a day. But at the end of the day, this is a really important mission. I'm wondering, have you had a chance to talk to some of the families who have benefited from the Milwaukee Diaper Mission? And it's for you as a mom. You touched on this a little bit at the beginning, but I think this is the core message for a lot of people and what people want to take home and what makes you really want to help out. It as a mom, when you think about a baby going without something as basic as a clean diaper, how does that hit you?
I mean, when you think about it too much, especially if this is a little, but like if you think about like a raw baby bottom and how much pain they're in and the choice between letting them go to the bathroom on the floor so they don't have to wear a dirty diaper versus keeping it on until you can get that next supply. Like, no one should have to make that choice, right? And I know I haven't gotten to talk to families directly because, like I said, Milwaukee Diaper Mission doesn't work directly with families. They work through partners with needs banks. But part of their big give back last fall, we did a campaign around like a content social media campaign. And I got to read some of the letters from people who have written to Milwaukee Diaper Mission and talked about the impact that it's made on their family and just the dignity that it brings to their family that they can have a supply of diapers every month. It's something that it feels simple, but diapers are really expensive.
They are so expensive.
They're really expensive. And especially when you have a small child, like in the first year of life, you're going through 6 to 8 diapers a day, which means that's 2,500 to 3,000 diapers in a year. And granted, once they're older, you use a little bit less, but that first year you're going through a lot of diapers. And just like everything else, the cost of them has gone up year after year after year.
Well, incredibly important mission and a fun day, too. It's always fun to help support a cause while you're having a little fun yourself.
Absolutely.
Right? So right now, if you go to our talk and text line here, just text the word WATCH to 855-616-1620. You'll get a link. You'll get our live feed right back to your mobile device. There's a QR code you can just sort of zap it. Or just text the word baby to our talk and text line, 855-616-1620. Gets you all the sign-up details sent right back to you. But it is a four-hour fun event, noon to four on March the 7th at Village Bowl, Menominee Falls. It's a great location, very conveniently located, and we want teams to join this. We want to see the competitive juices flow. I want to see Vetrano throw gutter ball after gutter ball. I think that would be kind of fun, but a great way to mix and mingle, but also raise a lot of money.
Absolutely. I'm trying to think, who's going to be the best bowler from the GKB side?
I got a hint that Ben Brust would be very good.
I mean, he is a D1 athlete.
Okay, there you go.
He is a D1 athlete, but does he have the finesse? I don't know.
I don't know. He's such a good shooter.
It's
you know
true.
What I mean?
It's
like
true.
Just
it's
accuracy,
true.
Finding the rim.
We'll
I got a hunch that Brust to be a good bowler.
I feel like, can you add a little something at the last minute to this? Because I feel like you should have a little station where people make the diaper cakes. Because you talk about, you know the diaper cakes?
Oh, yeah, for
so
like
many
baby
people,
showers?
Yes, for baby showers. Because diapers are so expensive. I know certainly, I've done that many times. In fact, one time for a baby shower, I got my girlfriends together. We met at a bar. Which it was a restaurant / bar, but we created, it was a beautiful diaper cake and had like a little, you know, a little teddy bear on top because it was just part of the gift. But because diapers are so expensive, I think you have a little station, people can bring some diapers too. You create those cakes and
that's
boom.
A really good idea because we were thinking about what are the other activities because at the golf outing my Milwaukee Diaper Mission had last year, they had like an obstacle course set up to not only putt in through different diaper boxes, but you also had to wear a baby carrier with a baby doll inside of it.
Oh,
and that added another level. So we didn't know how to set that up at Village Bowl, but the baby cake, that is a good idea.
I'm thinking about that.
Well, there's still time to register and for you to join us. So get your team of four together, mix and mingle, bowl with WTMJ personalities and a lot of fans and listeners here as we support a great cause. So March 7th, Village Bowl, Menominee Falls. It is Bowling for Babies, presented by Gruber Law Offices. They're getting behind this cause and behind so many wonderful initiatives and happy that this is the latest that we can be a part of together. So text the word baby to the WTMJ Talking text line. That's 855-616-1620. Great stuff, Kristen.
Thanks,
this
Kristen.
Is going to make a difference. This will make a big difference.
Thanks.
Spirit Airlines is looking to fly a nimbler fleet as it attempts to emerge from bankruptcy protection. CBS News business reporter Jason Brooks has the details.
The Wall Street Journal reports that Spirit has agreed to a deal with its creditors for the discount airline to continue its operations with a smaller fleet, which would cut Spirit's costs by 65%. This is the second time that Spirit has come up with a plan to come out of bankruptcy after antitrust regulators blocked a planned merger with JetBlue and merger talks with Frontier have failed to yield fruit. Spirit is planning to emerge from bankruptcy protection this summer.
Now remember, Spirit Airlines, we had the announcement in November that it was cutting its Milwaukee service this year. And that was a big deal for a lot of people. Spirit said the service would be discontinued at Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport, as well as airports in Phoenix, Rochester, New York, and St. Louis. And that already happened. That was, January 8th, I think it was.
Yeah.
Have you ever flown Spirit?
No, I have not. I had a couple of family members give it a shot. And it is what you would expect it to be. There is a price. It is a very low price. And then you got to pick your seat and pay a little more for that. And then if you want to bring a bag on, even if it's a small carry-on, you got to pay for that. If you're just a solo traveler, next to nothing on your person to travel with, yes, you will fly for less expensive. But there's a lot of add-on costs, very similar to Frontier. They get you with the initial price, and there's a ton of add-ons.
Yeah, I've never flown Spirit Airlines myself either, but I can picture the planes. You know, they've got that yellow plane with the big, bold, black writing. I did once fly Frontier. That was a while ago now. And what I remember about it is I remember thinking it was going to be inexpensive. But then by the time you were all done, it wasn't. Because I think it was like, you pay, this was years ago. But you had to pay to have your bag. Then you had to pay to pick your seat. And by the end of the day, it just didn't really feel like that deal.
No, it adds up. And Frontier, I don't think that was designed to be a budget airline. Spirit, I think, was budget from the start. And really, at the start, Southwest was a budget airline, and then they morphed into what they are today. Spirit has always been budget, but they never had traction. They were here for about 4 years in Milwaukee. JetBlue, another name mentioned in that piece, they were only here for a couple of years. In fact, I enjoyed flying JetBlue on trips out to Boston, where they had a huge footprint. They were all over the Boston Celtics arena. They had a JetBlue wing. I mean, they were doing everything to promote JetBlue out there. It just never, pardon the pun, took off in Milwaukee for whatever reason. But I thought that was a nice airline to fly. So it is tough, right? You've got the big dogs that control pretty much everything, and it's really hard to break through that clutter. And even at a discount airline like Spirit, it's tough to do. They fly to some pretty good destinations, not always the best times, and yes, those add-on costs do add up, but some people prefer the convenience, even if it means paying a little more.
It's Tech Tuesday with ABC News technology reporter Mike Dubusky.
We're not sure if he will be a judge in the upcoming AI beauty pageant, but he is our guest every Tuesday on Tech Tuesday.
The latest and greatest in the world of tech.
Tesla's next product, they call it a robo-taxi. These are AR glasses. They're called simply the Frame.
On Wisconsin's Midday News.
Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto, Domo.
It's a Tech Tuesday edition of Wisconsin's Midday News. Always great to check in with ABC News tech expert. It's Mike Dubusky. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. Is this where you're going to try and test out that Waymo snowplow going down the streets of New York to try and pave your way into the office?
I don't know, man. The governor of New York just dealt a pretty major blow to Waymo's operations here in the city, so I don't know if we're going to have a chance to do that, unfortunately.
Well, we know the snow has socked you in a little bit, but let's talk smartphones here. I'm holding an iPhone in my hand. In fact, Gina, Jessica, and I, we are all iPhone people. We are all smart people, but I do know other smartphones exist, and it's a big week for the makers of the Google phones and Samsung phones as well.
Yeah, to a degree. So last week, Google pulled the wraps off the new Pixel 10a. This is their mid-range Android phone. And usually the Pixel A series phones are pretty well-liked. Reviewers think they have a nice combination of features for a pretty reasonable price tag, $500 given what you get. So looking at the new Pixel 10a, the list of what's different, guys, is kind of what got people's attention. Because it's not a very long list. I'll just rattle it off really quickly for you right now. Marginally faster charging speeds. We're talking a couple minutes faster charging speeds here. More durable front glass and a handful of new colors. And that's it. That's pretty much all the changes that Google made to this year's Pixel 10a. Begging the question, why did Google bother updating this phone at all? Looking ahead to tomorrow, Samsung is going to show off a whole range of new flagship phones, the S26 series. Again, rumor has it that we're not expecting huge changes to the Samsung phones this year. That is pretty interesting, guys. On the one hand, these phone makers are under a sort of market competitive pressure to put something out, right? You know, Google doesn't want to let Samsung have all the fun. Apple and the like, you know, they need to kind of be in the conversation if they want to remain competitive. But the bigger picture is that there's a real shortage right now in a lot of the componentry that goes into smartphones, specifically RAM. RAM is the technology that allows your devices to, you know, feel fast. It allows computers to switch between different programs very quickly, allows your phone to switch between apps very quickly. The more RAM you have, the faster your device is generally. And right now, there's a real shortage, a real crunch in the RAM market.
So from a consumer standpoint, does this mean people should hang on to their current phones longer? Because, I mean, usually you get a new phone and you're so excited about what's new, and that's half the fun.
Certainly. To a degree, we've already seen this start to happen. People hold on to their phones instead of just, you know, every 2 years they upgrade. Maybe it's now every 3 or 4 years they upgrade. And I think there's a couple different reasons for that. One, we've seen the prices of these phones start to creep up in recent years. In addition to that, you know, phones are pretty good, right? You know, a lot of people like to complain that there's not a lot new under the sun in the smartphone world. But you should ask yourself the question, like, what more do you want your phone to do? Cameras are pretty good. Software, generally speaking, pretty good these days. You know, maybe the batteries need a little bit of work every now and again, but for the most part, the smartphone is a really mature, really good technology, and it's a challenge for these smartphone manufacturers to stand out. AI has been one path they've gone down to kind of differentiate the latest phones from the previous generation phones. We saw that with the iPhone 16 a few years ago, being kind of the big new phone to usher in the AI revolution over at Apple. Folding phones is something that Samsung has pursued as something to stand apart from the crowd. These kind of bendable devices, they've seen some success, limited success with that part of the market. Apple reportedly preparing a foldable phone for later this year as well. But the real irony here is that, you know, whether it's AI or whatever else, this RAM crunch means that at least for the next year or maybe more, guys, these updates are going to be very, very subtle, according to analysts, or there are going to be substantive updates to these phones. It's just that the prices are going to increase alongside them.
You know, these are major drivers to Apple and Samsung's valuations, Mike. We always look at iPhone sales, and it's a direct correlation to Apple's earnings and it being a $4 trillion company. Is there some long-term concern that, hey, you're just not going to be able to move the needle here with the latest version of iPhone unless you really commit to deeply integrating AI and performance upgrades?
So Apple is a bit of an odd case here because, for one, they held off on getting into the AI space for kind of a long time, right? This is, now 3.5 almost years since the launch of ChatGPT. Apple only really launched Apple Intelligence about 1.5 years ago, and it's been a really slow journey for them to integrate that technology into their popular hardware devices. Many, critics of the AI industry would say, the flaws that are inherent within even the most advanced versions of generative artificial intelligence are what's stopping this $300 trillion company from baking it into one of the most recognizable products of all time, the iPhone. So that's potentially an issue there. On the other hand, the slow roll of AI at Apple hasn't impacted their sales. The iPhone 17 is selling like hotcakes. They're doing really well with the latest generation of iPhones, particularly in markets like China and other parts of Asia. So that is an interesting data point. The role of AI as it applies to smartphones, I think, is still very much an open question as to whether it really provides the value that spurs people to go out and buy new phones, because Apple didn't really do that, and they're still doing just fine. The other side of this is that there's some irony in the AI conversation, because the whole reason that RAM is in short supply is because AI companies are buying it up like it's going out of style. They need RAM in order to power the servers that go into data centers that power their technology, and that's created a real crunch in the rest of the market. According to Counterpoint Research, memory prices, RAM prices, have soared 80 to 90% this quarter when compared to the fourth quarter of 2025. Certain types of RAM are up more than 600% over last year, and that impacts, yes, the smartphone market, where we're seeing this kind of general malaise, the PC market, where we're seeing prices start to rise, and also things that you might not immediately think about, things like routers and set-top boxes, even cars use RAM. So this crunch kind of brought about by the AI sector is impacting a whole swath of the consumer tech industry.
As AI does get more and more priority, what phone features might end up getting delayed or downgraded, do you think?
That's a good question. Again, it's been interesting to see how each of these companies has prioritized AI, right? Google is as much an AI company as it is a smartphone company. In fact, their AI business is probably at this point bigger than the Pixel business. And that means that they're able to pretty deeply integrate their own technology into their own hardware. They have some interesting features where Gemini, which is their branding for it, can kind of recognize what you're talking about when you're in a text message conversation or whether you're on a phone call with someone, and it can surface relevant information. The example being, you're on the phone with your airline and the AI recognizes that and gives you an image of your boarding pass. And that's seemingly a pretty helpful feature. Comes with a lot of security concerns, right? Like, you have to give it access to, the data that you're talking about, either over text or over phone call. You also have to give it access to your, email and your flight information. Do you trust an artificial intelligence to do that when it is still pretty nascent, flawed technology? I think that's a question that a lot of people have to ask for themselves. Apple has been touting for a while now this new revamped version of Siri, which is going to be powered by artificial intelligence. They recently struck a major partnership with Google to help with that effort. And, we were expecting the AI version of Siri to come out a few years ago. Now it seems like finally we're getting a little bit closer to that actually happening. But again, guys, I think the real question is, does this stuff provide enough value to actually upgrade your phone, especially given the broader economic anxiety out there? I don't know if we have the data to answer that question.
If Siri actually has an appropriate answer, then I guess that would be a step in the right direction. It's probably
worst
thing Apple has ever integrated into its phone. Siri is terrible. It's awful.
I'll look it up on the web for you. Yeah, it's kind of the mantra that Siri tends to go back to. But
I'm not quite sure what you're saying. I don't understand.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Try phrasing that slightly differently. Yeah, it's all very triggering phrases to a lot of people, I'm sure. But yeah, this is it's been a pain point for Apple, especially given the success of things like Google Assistant and Amazon Alexa, which are major competitors to Siri. Seemingly, AI could change that game a little bit, but we'll just have to wait and see. We don't actually know for a fact how it's going to be integrated, you know, when it does hit the market, presumably later this year.
All right, Mike, stay safe out there in New York. We'll check in again next week.
Thanks, Mike.
I'm digging out. Have a good one.
Wrapping up a Tuesday edition of Wisconsin's Midday News on WTMJ. So I got the release from the Packers that they're continuing their non-renewal exercise. I am not a Packers season ticket holder. I'm not on a list. I don't think my dad was ever on a list. Nobody's on a list. We are not season ticket holders. But I understand what they're trying to do here. It's a policy of declining to renew season tickets for account holders who repeatedly resell their tickets on the secondary market. So you get your allotment of Packers tickets and they go immediately to the StubHubs or SeatGeeks of the world. You never see them. You never touch them. You might not even live in the state of Wisconsin.
And all of those people who would love to have season tickets, who would love to have those tickets, are just yelling. Because one, I mean, the numbers are crazy. The list, I mean, you can go generations and not be able to get Packers season tickets. So that's one thing. But two, the other thing is, when you do put them up there on the secondary market, then when the Bears come to town, the Bears fans can snatch them up. And then all of a sudden, you've got more Bears fans in the stadium and the home field advantage doesn't feel so homey.
So Public Affairs Vice President Aaron Popke joined Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN this morning to talk through what the Packers want to see and what they don't want to see.
We've got such a great experience at Lambeau Field and we do like hosting fans from other teams. You know, that's part of the tradition. Lambeau's a bucket list and those sorts of things. Makes for great TV to have some fans from the other team there. We would love for that experience to continue, but we'd like those numbers to be in the hundreds, not the thousands. So we're, you know, everything we're doing here is just focusing on maintaining and building, increasing that home field advantage.
And Aaron would go on to say that the tickets are not owned by the individual. They're owned by the Packers. There's no seat license here. You're not buying a seat at Lambeau Field. You're buying tickets to a game. And the Packers have authority to revoke those season ticket privileges really at any time. At any time they want to do it. And they have specific expectations for how those tickets should be used. They're for you, the holder. They're for your family. They're for your friends and business associates. And if you can't make it to a game, all good. Sell them to Packers fans. Don't go to the aggregate apps that you might have downloaded for anybody and anybody to buy a ticket.
Or go to like the Chicago Bears Facebook
page. That'd be worse. Yes.
I can't go to the game. And here's the thing. If you're a season ticket holder and you can't go to one game and you put on the secondary market, that's no big deal. It's just the season ticket holders that immediately and continuously and are always selling those tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. So buyer beware. You're free out there in Packerland. About 150,000 long. That's how many names are on the list right now. The waiting list for Packers season tickets.
My husband said we're up on the list for Packers season tickets like 2 years ago. And I said, what? You've never told me this. You're kidding. There's no way. It's not possible. Well, it wasn't the regular seats. It was the suite seats, which would also be cool. But that's a different experience, and we can't go to every single game, and that's harder to sell them. So we did look into it. But that list is not as long, if you're interested in that. But, man, to be a season ticket holder for the normal seats, that's a dream for a lot of us.
No doubt. 2:56 at WTMJ. Wisconsin's Midday News is out. Wisconsin's Afternoon News with John and Julia coming in.